And I can see the ground now, way too gone, way too gone. All right, legends, welcome back, dude, to yet another episode of Get Around Me. What a time it is to be alive, truly. And I mean that today far more than I've meant it previously. It's Lord of the Rings 3 on today's podcast with the return of our darling boy, Rowan Arneal. The Irish Wolfhound, he's finally returned from Melbourne as it was written. My Lord, what a time to be alive indeed. Big episode with the great man. He just represented himself in court last week, so I don't know what the deal is. If you're a surfer, you have to represent yourself in court. I don't know if it's like against the code to engage professional legal assistance. But that's what the big fella was up to last week, so that's pretty funny. And then we also talk about Paul Kent trying to fight this bloke in the street for maybe 35 minutes, because that's also probably the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. The funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life last Tuesday was Rowan in a Billabong button-up getting ready to defend himself in court like a day and a half back from his trip to Melbourne. Then the new funniest thing was Paul Kent throwing a punch at a bloke at 59 after 16 schooners. So good second half of the pod inbound. So good that I'm not really feeling the pressure of the first half. Like this could be mediocre for the next 37 minutes, a gentleman's 37, brackets 56. And I still think the second half, you'd walk away going, it's pretty good stuff there. You'd walk away with a good taste in your mouth because of the good times the second half will no doubt provide. But nevertheless, I will be trying earnestly to make this first half as entertaining as possible, but I'm just letting you know that I'm feeling confident knowing the second half is to come. So that's exciting. But anyway, what else is happening? It's May 1st today that I'm recording this, Wednesday, May 1st. I think April went for 6 months. I don't know if this is anyone else's experience. I am here to project. That's really all this podcast is. April, never ending. I was in Melbourne for 2 weeks. Then I was in Perth. Then I was in Brisbane and Adelaide. And then I hosted Two Up for 6 hours last week, which in and of itself was a month. That was a month within the month from 12 to 6 on Anzac Day. And I'll get into that in a second. But my God, April has come and gone at long last. I mean, probably one of the best months of my life, but long, tiresome. It's aged me considerably. I look like shit, dude. I kind of look like, I shouldn't say that. That's kind of mean. I'm just going to trash a mate of mine. But regardless, I'm not looking the best I've ever looked. The weather's kind of dour here in Sydney today. Not the most marketable weather I've ever seen. I've started saying that in a bid to be a little bit more upbeat. You know, the weather was just so sick at the start of April. I think I became too accustomed to it. And now it's turned. Well, now May's here and it's raining and it's dreary. And I'm sort of rainy and dreary off the back of a big weekend. The weather's reflecting my mental state. I don't know if maybe I don't know if this is the X-Men or whatever, but the weather appears to be reflecting my mental state because all of April, really, I'm whipping around town, having a few beers, a few laughs, God forbid, hey? God forbid you can still have a few laughs. What, with what Albo's been up to? Put that to the side. I might just start saying that from now on just to clarify statements. Just be like, yeah, had a bit of a laugh with my family. That's all you can do these days. What, with what Albo's been up to? And just never know what he's been up to. And just insinuate that he's been doing some weird shit. But regardless, the weather was just unbelievable. And I think it was attached to my own mental state. So it would be in everyone's best interest to send me some encouraging Instagram messages if you wanted to go back to 23 without a cloud in the sky. Because my God, I had the biggest weekend of my life over the last 3 or 4 days. My serotonin's down and all of a sudden, the sky's looking a bit sad as well. So not that marketable. I started saying that because a mate of mine started dating this girl and I didn't want to trash her too much because I just met her. This is like at a later hang. Someone was like, how's what's-his-face's new girl? And I was like, yeah, she's probably not the most marketable personality we've ever come across. Yeah, she sucks, dude. Oh, she sucks. But that's not that positive. So she's not that marketable. And I look forward to potentially unlocking her likability in the future. That's right. But anyway, just before we go any further, tour's back on. Canberra, this Friday, May 3rd. See you there. I'm bringing Pat the Snake Doherty, who did post on Instagram yesterday that he's in Los Angeles. So not sure what that's about, but we have a verbal agreement that he will be opening for me in Canberra. So hopefully he turns up. I've bought him a bus ticket, so hope to see him there. But it should be a good show, Canberra, May 3rd. And then next week, Sydney, Friday, May 10th, the big one. Biggest solo show I've ever done. Get there. That's going to be so sick. Newcastle, Saturday, May 11th. Wollongong, May 25th. And then I got a Brisbane Encore, June 20th. And then it looks like South America with Macca in August. So it's all happening here. You can get those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. And yeah, so what is going on? Let's get into the week that was. So last Anzac Day, as is the duty of any stand-up comedian who is not on the telly, I hosted Two Up for 6 hours straight in a bid to show my loyalty to this great nation. My God, it is the craziest 6 hours, as always. Every year, I say I'm never doing that again. And this year is kind of a repeat of that. It's 6 hours straight of like a two-up game every 2 minutes with no breaks. Me and Scouse King Kyle Legacy. If you haven't seen Kyle, he's like a Scouse guy with an afro, but he's white and he wears basketball jerseys. It's a lot to take in. And every year he ropes me in again. Every year he's late. Every year something goes wrong. Last year he like flew in from Melbourne at like 9 a.m. and hadn't slept and rocked in like half an hour late. And he always tees it up with the pub, so I never know who to talk to. I don't even know. This year, same as per, we're supposed to be there a quarter to 12. Like 12:01, he messages me saying there's traffic. Kyle, it's a public holiday. There's going to be traffic. I don't know what to tell you, mate. There will be traffic around. People are out and about. No one has work. Not a single person, except for the people at the pub we're going to, are working. So something to keep in mind for next year if we do it for the fifth time, that, hey, expect a little bit of traff, yeah? Expect a little bit of traff. So Kyle rolls in late. I talk to the manager of the pub. Something goes wrong every year. Last year, no batteries in the wireless microphones. And they just let like 300 people come in, ravenous to gamble. Ravenous to gamble. And we're just standing there with no wireless microphones. And we couldn't start the tour up for like 25 minutes. Blokes are literally like threatening my family. They're like, if we don't see some coins flipping, your head's about to go. Like, they're so aggressively into the two-up. You host two-up for, like, 10 minutes on Anzac Day, and you'll be like, oh, I totally see why this is illegal every other day of the year. Blokes are building and destroying lives 4 times an hour. It's crazy. This year, everything looks good. She goes, we got the microphones. Here's the sound desk. And it's so funny. People always assume comedians know about sound desks. She shows me like a $6,000 sound desk. And she's like, yep, so you'll be all over that. I said, oh, you better believe it. I have no idea how sound desks work. I really have no idea. I'm pushing levers. I don't know. Unless you want me and Kyle to maybe craft a rap hit or something, I really have no idea what any of these levers mean. But whatever. She goes, here are the spare batteries. Here's your bar tab, which was greatly reduced, I should say, before we go any further. Last year, open bar tab for me and Kyle. This year, we received a $50 Coogee Bay Hotel gift card each. Now, you're probably thinking, Bill, that's a pretty drastic reduction in value. Last year, free beers for 6 hours plus free beers and food afterwards. Keeping in mind, it's like $12 a beer at this pub. And afterwards, we both had a $60 steak at the restaurant. So you're probably thinking, yeah, that is quite expensive. But what pushed it over the edge was last year, Macca, 75-time Pelican of the Week. Last year, he rolls in and he gets whiffed that there's a bar tab and he starts ordering rum and cokes for him and our mate Chundi, saying that they were for me and Kyle. So last year, me and Kyle racked up probably $300 ourselves just in good, clean living, Carlton drafts and a steak, something to fuel the boys for the 6 hours. And I'll say this now, by the way, fuck off if you think anyone's hosting Two Up Sober for 6 hours. Like last year, they said, don't get a beer right away because we don't want you guys getting too drunk. And look, I understand that as the manager of the establishment, you have to say that. You have to say, guys, don't get too drunk hosting Anzac Day, hosting the Two Up. Just know that not only is it un-Australian, it's unhuman for anyone to host Two Up for 6 hours straight sober. Anyone who can do that, lock them up because they will be linked to some crime we have not yet solved. Any psycho standing there sober, just ear-to-ear smiles, thoroughly enjoying what they're doing, lock them up. It is hell in a cell for 6 hours. You see the best and the worst of humanity like 7 times an hour hosting the Two Up. We simply must get blind. No break either. The only break I have is walking to the bar to get the next couple of beers. And it takes like 17 seconds. So put that to the side. This year we get a $50 card each, which is like 3 beers each because it's $13 at Carlton. That's fine. So last year, inadvertently, we racked up like a $1,000 tab because Macca came in and had like 14 rum and cokes and then left. Regardless. So put that to the side. What am I trying to say here? Oh yeah, so this year, they gave us the paddle, but it only had 2 coins. Now, traditional two-up rules is you're supposed to do 2 coins, right? And if it's odds, you just re-spin. Now, obviously, the game has evolved to 3 coins because these ravenous gambling addicts that attend have worked out that if you have 3 coins, you have a result every time, and then you can get way more gambling in. So that was the big drama this year. We only had the 2 coins. I literally said to the crowd, we're just going to do the 2 coins this year, so we'll be playing odds. And mate, one bloke dead set had me pinned up against the wall before I could even finish my sentence. He's like, fuck off, we're doing 2 coins. And he was right, it's a way worse system. So I just ended up using a 20-cent piece. Anyway, all's well that ends well. But yeah, the bar tab was greatly reduced. And first hour, I'm hosting the Two Up, and it's like any other job where I look at the clock, it was 1:06. We've been going for an hour. I thought, fuck this, dude, this will never end. And it's like, blokes are into you. They're like, more spins, more spins. Like, old blokes are there and they're so, like, by the book. One guy pulled me aside. I thought he was going to say, like, my wife just died or something. He was so somber. He goes, you didn't say come in spinner when the spinner just came in. It was a new spinner and he didn't say come in spinner. And he's, like, literally about to cry. And I'm like, sorry, sir. I will say it next time. And it's just absolutely relentless. Absolutely relentless. I went to the bathroom for like 5 minutes, 2 hours in. I come back, Kyle's like climbing over the table trying to kill a bloke. Not try to kill a bloke, but maybe try to have a confrontation with him. And like, no offense to some of the punters, like you see the best and the worst of humanity. And also some blokes are pricks. Some blokes are just dumb. Some of them are drunk. Some of them are happy. Like you see everything. And the rules are up on the fucking projector, as big as anyone can have them. There's little posters everywhere with the rules. Heads, holds, the money. I cannot be clearer. I've said it 50 million times during the day. Heads, holds, the money. The amount of blokes who are holding 200 bucks and it comes up tails and they start celebrating. And then you go, no, mate, heads, holds, the money. And then they start blowing up and they're like, you said I was tails. And it's like, brother, don't you understand no one holding the money across, there's like 600 people in here. No one holding the money is tails. This isn't a personal attack. I never said you were tails. No one said you were tails. You're holding the money, your heads. That's the only rule. The rules are heads or tails, best 2 out of 3 on the coins. And the only other rule is that whoever bets on heads holds the money. And yet still, every 15 minutes, you got some bloke trying to fight a bloke because he thought he was tails. And it's like, it's un-Australian to have such a poor grasp on these rules and then blow up afterwards. Do you know what I mean? Handle the disputes a little bit better on a day when we are commemorating blokes who lost their lives in the wars, you know? We're commemorating blokes who got their heads blown off in another country defending this great one we live in, and yet you can't even read a PowerPoint, and now you're trying to chin me because you've had two light beers and you can't really handle it. Do you know what I mean? Can we get some context? Can we get some perspective? Can we get some blokes who can handle adversity a little bit better than this? Because it's completely out of control every year. But whatever, honestly, this was our best year as far as incidents. I know what you're thinking, Bill, really? Because you sound jaded as hell. It's a long day. You come out all PTSD'd out. And I will say, from 2 to 5 or whatever, it did fly by. I started getting pretty pissed. And by about 5 o'clock, honestly, you're just running a syndicate for like the 7 gambling addicts that have been getting up all day. And honestly as well, like, could we facilitate the bets? That's the other thing. It's completely unregulated. Me and Kyle are in charge. We're settling all disputes. Any dispute, and there wasn't very many. To be fair to the great guys and gals that came to the Coogee Bay Hotel last Thursday, there wasn't very many. Any disputes voided immediately, and I don't want to hear about it. Okay? When I have kids one day, God willing, I find a bloody life partner, but God willing, I have kids one day. When I blow up my kids or I have to give my kids a stern talking to, I'll be using the same face and tone I used with many drunk real estate agents on Anzac Day last week who thought they had won when they were holding the money. They thought they were tails. That is the same tone and face. The face says, no, we're not doing this. We are not going any further. Voided. And I say, no more. The dispute is over. Next bet. Do you understand? This bet is over. And I give them a look that says, hey, brother, I'm willing to fucking go down for this because I got 4.5 hours to go. I've already seen like 17 of you today. So if you wanna drag this into the mud on Anzac Day of all days, then we can. It's basically primary school teaching. And after 5 p.m., you're really just running a gambling syndicate for the 7 blokes who've got up. I'm talking big bets. Don't come to me saying, does anyone have $10 on tails at 4:30 p.m.? Because guess what, brother? I'm holding $6,000 in my hands right now. I've got $6,000 going on heads. I can't worry about you making your one bet for the year $10 on heads. Sort it out yourself, okay? It's the RuneScape marketplace out there. Work it out. So just a crazy day. Just a crazy day. I'm trying to think if there was anything I missed. Oh, yeah, afterwards, this was pretty funny. So afterwards, you know, you are a bit of a celebrity in the pub, I guess. If there's ever a situation where, you know, you're the cool kid in school for like an hour and a half, is when you're in the pub afterwards. People are actually heaps grateful because I think they know it's a tough gig hosting the two up. And so me and Kyle are like, let's grab a beer. We'll blaze outside and come back in, grab a couple of beers, and then we'll hang out in the beer garden. You know, knowing our luck, probably a few girls will recognize us from the two up and we'll be off to the races. Cue just an endless stream of pommy blokes. Cue just relentless 34-year-old pommy guys with no exceptions. We did chat to a couple of Irish girls. I was chatting to this one group of Irish girls and I said, because it was Coogee Bay, like everyone there is just from the UK, right? And I said to these Irish girls, I said, there's barely any Aussies here. Everyone here is from the UK, right? These Irish girls are like, did you just say we're from the fucking UK? Nah, not into that, mate. That's fucking, like, days went off. And when Irish girls are off, they're off. You know, they're 3 doors down around the corner. They're not coming back. And I didn't have the emotional energy to, I was like, all right, you know what I meant. You know what I meant. So, yeah, not a lot of action with the ladies after, but did get to chat a bit of Premier League with several 34-year-old dribbling Englishmen. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool indeed. Now, up next as well on the weekend, we had Macca's 30th birthday. 75-time Pelican of the Week, Macca. Wow. Now, originally, Macca promised a South Coast trip. He said, mate, I don't want you touring this weekend because I'm going to book a house on the beach down the coast. It's going to be unbelievable. 3 nights down on the South Coast. I said, holy shit, mate. I'm so glad you have given me the heads up and I can book my tour accordingly around this excellent trip you are no doubt going to organize, as you've just said to my face. Now, obviously, months go past, Macca books nothing, and we end up doing a dinner, which was still fine. Still fine. So we go to this sick restaurant, and I put on Instagram that I was nervous because I'd been asked to do a big speech at Macca's 30th. The reality was, I was not asked to do a speech. In fact, I'm pretty sure Macca requested I don't do one. But here's the thing, mate. I've already put it up on Instagram that I'm doing one. What are you going to... Because are you going to make me look like a liar in front of my Instagram followers? That's in bad faith. So I booked myself to do a speech. Bit of a power play there. And we went to this Spanish restaurant. No, what was it? Mexican? It was Mexican, sorry. And Macca was brushing off his Spanish from our trip to Central America last year, which was at times confronting to see, but at the same time, very electric. A lot of good times there. And just basically a huge night. Just an absolute write-off of a night. I can't think of really a lot of what was going on. Probably the most blind I've been since Macca's birthday the previous year. So, yeah, not much left of me come the end of the night. It was like a 5 a.m. job. And lucky to be alive, okay? But Macca had a great time, and my speech was well received, so that's all happening. I was kicked out of a nightclub at like 3:30 a.m., and it was time to go. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't believe I was let in, let alone that I was kicked out. You know, when I was getting kicked out, my vibe was like, you're incompetent for even letting me be in here. So, yeah. And looking back, if the guy didn't let me in at like 2 a.m. at the nightclub, I think it would have really saved a lot of the head noise come Monday and Tuesday this week, because it was needless. Yeah, it was the Walking Dead in there at 2 a.m., Billy Darcy on the nightclub dance floor. So, embarrassing stuff. But a couple of highlights from my speech at Macca's birthday was one time I was getting robbed by these two transgender ladies in Thailand. And I was saying, you know, always good to have your best mate there to back you up in these harrowing, dangerous situations overseas. And I was very lucky that I had Macca there, who was able to film the whole thing in 4K on his GoPro from a safe distance. So, thank you, Macca. Appreciated it then. Appreciated it now. You know, when you go overseas, the going gets tough and you need your mates to step in every once in a while. So, while he did not actually help me in any way, shape or form, he was able to document it. Should we go to the police later, we would have had all the evidence they required to not do anything about it. So that was lucky. And another story highlight from the speech was, we were in Austin a couple of years ago, and I was in an Uber heading back to this hostel, and this guy is on this Lime scooter just swerving all over the road at like 2 a.m. in front of this Uber. And the Uber driver's just blowing up. He's like, I wish they would ban these Uber scooters. They take up the roads. They're so dangerous. People are drunk on them. They cause so many accidents. And I'm like, mate, I hate them. You know when you're just agreeing with the Uber driver, even though Lime scooters and bikes are actually a passion of mine. I can't get enough of them. But I look out the front window and it's freaking Macca and this girl. And he's accelerating, but she's steering. And they're both blind. And he almost crashes like 7 times, almost kills us and the girl. So a couple of highlights there. And Macca had a phenomenal night. I left him on the dance floor at 3:30 a.m., gave him the old hasta la vista. In fact, I don't even really remember leaving, but I think I texted him saying, I have to go. So, a great night had by all. Unfortunately, not heaps of stories have come out of that one due to my own poor memory. That's going to have to be that, unfortunately. That is going to have to be that. And I was honestly too sheepish to text Macca and Adzi asking for any stories, because they'd probably just be like, you're a pelican. So, anyway, let's keep things moving here. Okay, up next, a new dating trend has been sent in. We haven't had a new one for a while. I guess it takes them a while to make these things up at Triple J, the hookup or whatever. But we've got a new one here, and this is exciting. Some past trends we've enjoyed: breadcrumbing, pocketing, gaslighting, other words. Now, this is a new one that's heaps trendy on TikTok. TikTok is just another world. Hey, I stay off there. I post in Ghost. I post my little clips and I get off there. But it's a different world. You don't know what people are up to on that app. This is a new one, and I got to say, it sounds pretty electric. Dating up. Dating up. Now, dating up is when you date people who are richer or doing better in life than you. Just essentially better than you. And I got to say, guys, to the naked eye, this is one I could really get on board with. Dating people who are hotter and richer than me? Yes. Yes. Is this a trend? Or is this just something some guy would like to do? And I think it's a lot of, it's mostly girls talking about this on the talk from what I can tell from the videos I saw. But from my standpoint, as running one of the toxic male podcasts of the East Coast, I think this is something we could all get involved in. I don't see why your gender has anything to do with wanting to date people hotter and richer than you. I think it's a very exciting concept that we should all get around. Me personally, I've said previously, I'm looking to date famous. Ideally, my ideal girlfriend would have like 5 million Instagram followers. And I'm not saying that she has to be like one of these Instagram influencers doing all sorts of, naked photo shoots on the gram. I'm saying, maybe an indie rocker, maybe arts and crafts. I'm not sure how she's got those followers. But I would like to date a famous girl. I think it would be pretty electric. And just boost my profile a little bit. Maybe I'll sell out that Canberra show if the missus has 5 million followers. Maybe I'm on Triple J afternoons. Who knows? Couple of red carpet starts. Who knows where my career goes from there? So I think this is a pretty cool concept. And then I'm reading the article and it says, ladies, it's time to leave broke men with no direction in the dust. And after I read that, I realized, guys, this trend is actually pretty alarming and it's something we need to take very seriously. This is the sort of toxic stuff that if it does seep into the culture, it could hurt a lot of people. Come on, guys. I mean, oh my Lord, that was terrifying when I read that. I think being directionless is in, or being in a lower tax bracket, sort of milling around, I think that should be in. And let's keep in mind that for someone to date up, the other person does have to date down. So we can't just have everyone just being hot and rich dating each other. Some people will have to give a leg up to those of us who are a little bit of a slower starter in life. So I think that is good to keep in mind going forward, that for someone to date up, the other person has to date down. So let's not get too crazy with the whole dating up thing, because some people will have to take a bullet. But apparently at its core, dating up means dating someone who treats you well. So this concept is all over the map, really. Are we dating rich and hot people, or are we dating people who like us? Because if we're looking for both, that's going to be... that's Lord of the Rings stuff. That's a never-ending journey. We're going to have to recruit some hobbits. There might be a wizard involved. That's going to be a much tougher job. Because the start of the article said, we're looking for people who are hot and rich. And then it said, we're looking for people who like us. And I think we're starting to get a little bit too airy-fairy. Okay, this isn't the most marketable idea I've ever come across. I love how the person writing this article is like, the new trend, dating people who like us. Now, I'm not the greatest dater around, and call me old-fashioned, and maybe this is a bit of a low bar moment from me, but I do believe that if you want to date Billy Darcy, yours truly, at a bare minimum, you have to like me. And I don't want to get too crazy with my boundaries or my expectations, but I do think you should like me in some capacity if you're going to date me. I might be showing my age there. But I think now, dating up, what the article was saying, it's transformed from finding someone who treats you very well to now I think chicks on TikTok are like, fuck that dude, rich and hot. And I think I blame the housing market for this. I think in the 60s, when a postman could afford a house, that's when people were marrying for love. When your husband is the fucking milkman and you live in a 3-bedroom house near Manly Beach, then yeah, dude, you can afford to marry for love. Now, with the housing market, we got some lawyers who can't even afford a rental. Now it's like we're marrying for shelter. We're marrying for status. We're marrying for warmth, you know? Do you want to live under a bridge with someone you love? Or do you want to live in a secure household with someone who seems okay? Who seems okay? And that's, I think, the decision a lot of people are making going forward. Honestly, disastrous news for artists. Disastrous news for comedians who are yet to be embraced by the industry, RE yours truly. I pray this trend doesn't catch on. I do think if you want to get a house one day, it is time to cut the shit and put our net worths on the table. If you want to maybe live in a share house for the next 10 years and be serenaded by my hilarious thoughts on a weeknight, that's the decision you have to make. But that's the new trend, dating up, dating for wealth, dating for status. I don't know if it says dating hot people, but that's just what I sort of gleaned from it. Rich people are hot. I think we would all agree with that. I don't think anyone's looking for a rich, ugly person. Although I guess a lot of rich, ugly blokes exist. Either way, I'm praying this trend dies ASAP. If this thing takes off, I'm going to be fucked, to be honest. If this thing takes off, my comedy career is going to have to take off with it. Otherwise, it's going to be a pretty lonely next decade for yours truly. But anyway, we'll have to see. This one is quite alarming. Okay, up next, I want to do a trend end. Then I want to do the project. And then it's the second half with the Irish Wolfhound, Rowan Arneal. So trend end this week, the trend I would like to end, and this is a personal one, I'm once again just projecting all over you guys, but that's all this podcast is. Trend end, taking risks at Subway. Now, originally, I was going to put taking risks full stop, but then I reflected, and I think I might have been coming down a bit from the weekend. So let's not get too dramatic. You should take risks in your life, whether that's dating up, whether that might be dating down. Maybe a few of you guys out there might need to take a risk dating down. When's that trend going to come back in? Just dating guys who are not making that much money, but they're kind of fucking whimsical as hell. What about dating down, but they got a bit of charm and there's just something about this guy? When's that trend going to come in? But anyway, trend end, taking risks at Subway. Now, I've been eating a fair bit of Subway in April because I've been on the road and I've been hungover. And they're the two times when I do sort of lean on Subway. Some people turn to drugs and alcohol. Me personally, I lean on Subway because it's a choose your own adventure like no other. And, you know, selling a few tickets, making a bit of money, I haven't been shackling myself to the traditional subs. I've been saying, Bill, you're a 29-year-old man. You can have the premium subs. You can have the upper echelon Subway that you've turned your nose up at previously. You can try these subs that are only here for a limited time, even though some of them look ridiculous. And I got to say, trend end. I've been having all sorts of different Subways recently. I've had the chicken parm. I've had the southern chicken. I've tried the pulled pork. And you're thinking, Bill, pulled pork at Subway, are you out of your fucking mind? There's no way that's good. But has anyone ever actually talked to anyone that's tried this shit? Does anyone have anyone in their inner circle that has actually had the fiery jalapeno chicken parmesan sub? In my mind, these things were reserved for millionaires, for people who date down. And recently I've said, dude, fuck this. Do you know what I mean? I'm an adult. I'm making a bit of money. Here we come. Whatever. I'm treating myself to whatever I want. Scorched earth type stuff. And I've been treating myself to these upper echelon subs, and I got to say, little disappointing. And they're like $23 or whatever for the fire breather, whatever the fuck. And I got to say, they just leave me regretting not getting my tried and tested. The buffalo chicken, the pizza sub. They're really the only two I get. Chicken and bacon ranch, if it's like a public holiday or something. But I've been going out getting these weird Subways. Because I was thinking, oh, I don't know. This is what I think personal growth is, by the way. This is what I think personal growth is. Some people are doing ice baths. I'm saying you've got to get out of your shell. Do not order a pizza sub. You've got to get out there. And also, the Subway I go to nearby, sometimes it's really busy at lunchtime. And the longer the line, the more existential I get. The more I start to freak out. The more I start to look around at what everyone else is getting. Compare and despair. They say that in AA, that's what I'm saying to myself in the line at Subway, saying stick to who you are, stick to what you know. And I've been getting these weird subs, I've been adding avocado, and do you know what, dude? It's not making a lot of sense. And I think, honestly, I've never been happier than when I just go, do you know what, I'm getting a pizza sub, I'm not thinking about it twice, I know what I like, and let's have it. I know what it costs, and it's beautiful, you know? And then maybe next time I'm getting the buffalo chicken. But I've been all over the map with my Subway orders recently. I think I've just been getting in my head too much. I've been getting too existential. Back yourself. It's okay to like what you like. If you see a girl with a fringe and a nose ring and she's laughing at everything you're saying, don't second guess that, dude. Move to Byron Bay. Start a new life. You know what you like. So that's the trend end for this week. Just taking risks at Subway. Don't feel obliged. Don't let them get in your head with the marketing and the limited time only. Stick to what you know and trust yourself. That would be my message to you, the listener. So that's the trend end for this week. Okay, up next, the project. The project is the segment where we celebrate Australian talent killing it here and abroad. This week on the project, there could be no other. It's obvious. You already know the name. I'm going to say it anyway. This week on the project, we are featuring Australian UFC flyweight Steve Astro Boy Ursegg, who is fighting for the undisputed flyweight UFC championship this Sunday in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Oh my God. This is a real-life Rocky story. Now, you've probably never heard of this guy because no one fucking has. He's the number 10 ranked flyweight in the UFC. If you're not familiar with the sport, flyweights weigh about 27 kilos. Picture a jacked primary school child, and that is a UFC flyweight. It's the least popular division because of the reasons I've just outlined. They're 5'1" and they look like children, but it's still an elite UFC division nonetheless. And this is a real-life Rocky story, right? He's ranked 10. It's this weird situation where, like, all nine people ahead of him cannot fight for the title for various reasons. Failure to make weight. Booked. Off a loss. Lost to the champ already. Injured. Do you know what I mean? I think they asked me to fight for this one at one point. They have looked for absolutely everyone to fight Alejandro Pantoja, the Brazilian champ, in Brazil. They couldn't find anyone. Steve Ursek's coming off knocking out Matt Schnell, which I'll get into in a second. And this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Ranked 10, fighting for the belt. He's come from nowhere. He's only had 3 UFC fights in total, right? This guy looks like Steve Carell, and he has a lisp. It's absolutely hilarious. He's fighting Alejandro Pantoja, who's like a dominant UFC champion. He's only defended the belt twice, but he's absolutely mopped the floor with the top 5 on the way up. And he's fighting in Brazil. The crowds in Brazil, now this is probably going to seem in poor taste, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the Brazilians or their culture. They are the worst UFC crowd by far. They chant, "You're going to die," as the fighters go to the octagon, and they throw bottles and rubbish at the foreign fighters. They are extremely poorly behaved, and that's just a fact. There's no scarier place for foreign fighters to go than Brazil. And that I'm talking about as well. I'm talking about just getting some lunch during the day. God forbid when you have to go to the arena at night and actually fight these guys. My God, it's an intimidating place to go. And we're sending over Steve, the Astro Boy Ursegg. Wow. Right? They're doing the UFC countdown where they do like a mini doc on the fighters. Do you know what Steve Ursegg says? Keep in mind, this is like the Steve Bradbury of title shots. He's paying $2.60 on Sportsbet. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit. I'm a bit overwhelmed by this topic. The Steve Bradbury of title shots, from ranked 10, only 3 UFC fights, fighting a dominant champion, and he's paying $2.61 on Sportsbet. Alejandro Pantoja is paying $1.50. This is garbage. We should be fucking revolting in the streets, okay? This should be similar scenes to when Paris tried to raise the pension age to 65, or the retirement age, I should say. Because Steve Astro Boy Ursegg should be paying like $3.50 right here. We should be getting insane value on our boy. But because this country's so loyal, we've obviously, he's come in from $3.10 this week alone. Those odds make me sick. He should be paying like $3.80. This is a Rocky Apollo Creed story like no other. But regardless, dude, they're doing the UFC countdown, the documentary. First thing Steve Astro Boy Ursegg says to the camera, he says, "I don't know if you've seen the film, but Apollo Creed loses." Shaking. shaking uncontrollably in my living room, getting resuscitated by my roommate Marky when he came home from work several hours later. Still can't see properly out of my left eye. Decreased vision in my left eye. Have been to the doctors twice to see if it's permanent. Oh my God, bet the house. There is a moose loose in the hoose. And bet it all, okay? Bet it all on Astro Boy. I'm shaking. I'm calling ex-girlfriends. I'm telling them I was wrong, okay? I'm investing in properties on the South Coast. I'm booking Macca's 31st at said property next year because he's unorganized. And if he asked me to do it, I would have, but he didn't. Oh my God. This is crazy, dude. This is absolutely crazy. Now, Alejandro Pantoja, dominant champ. Strong, durable. The pace this man sets. Fuck, he's good. Ursegg is coming off a walk-off knockout of number 9 ranked UFC Matt Schnell. Now, that seems cool on paper. Unfortunately, Matt Schnell is kind of the bike of this division. He has a glass chin, and pretty much everyone's had a go on him. There's not a single UFC flyweight who's ranked, whose highlights package does not include just leveling Matt Schnell. Crazy he hasn't been delisted yet, but good on him because he's provided a fantastic service of launching our boy into the title picture. And here's a very interesting statistic I'd like to run past you guys that a lot of the so-called quote-unquote analysts are failing to acknowledge, right? Pantoja, better striking, better grappling, better endurance, better cardio, better durability, better strength, okay? Better experience, been there, done that. Here's a stat, though, that no one's bringing up. Very interesting. Steve Ursegg's dad is in his corner and is one of his trainers. Whereas Alejandro Pantoja's dad abandoned him at a very young age. That's interesting. What does that tell you? Pantoja's dad leaves? That tells me that Pantoja's a crap hang. Probably not that good to be around. Ursegg's dad can't get enough of him. They were in the doco having a bloody barbecue together, having a fucking laugh. Pantoja's dad, he's on the pokies. He couldn't give a fuck. Son's the UFC champ. He's still not come home. So, I don't know. Pantoja's clearly a crap hang. I don't blame his dad. Ursegg, hilarious. If I was his dad, I'd be hanging around him too. He looks like Steve Carell and he's a bloody character. So, Pantoja is from a super camp in America, American top team. Ursegg is from a gym in suburban Perth that does jiu-jitsu for children. So, we will see who wins. Honestly, Steve Ursegg is saying all the right things. He said Pantoja's the number 2 flyweight in the world, and he's going to knock him out in round 3. Wow. Unbelievable. Official tip, look, guys, if you're not financially stable, this is risky, okay? Pantoja's no joke, and I think that he could win just via championship acumen. Too strong, too durable. I think it's going to be a good scrap, but I wouldn't be betting the absolute house on Steve. I will personally because I have my own agenda. But be careful betting. Honestly, I would get a VPN and try and get on the American markets for better odds if you can. That's what I'll be attempting to do because $2.61 for our Rocky versus Apollo moment in this country, not good enough sports bet. Not good enough. And I better see some specials coming down the pipeline before Sunday. But regardless, that is the project for this week. That's the solo pod for this week. Rowan Arneal joining us up next. And my tour continues. I'm halfway there. I've got Canberra this Friday, May 3rd. Then I have Sydney, biggest show of my life, Friday, May 10th. Newcastle, filming that show. Come on out, Newcastle, Saturday, May 11th. Wollongong, May 25th. Very low stakes there. Brisbane, June 20, encore. That's going to be super fun. And you can get those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. Thanks for listening. Way too long, yeah, and I can see the ground now. Way too gone. All right, legends. Welcome back to yet another episode of Get Around Me. What a time it is to be alive. And I mean that today more than I've meant it previously. Because our darling boy, Rowan Arneal, has returned from Melbourne. His six-month exchange is over. Rowan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good to be back. Back in the stewed. It feels nice.
Back in the stewed, brother. Where you belong.
Where I belong. A nice, tough day on the tools rained off, then into the stewed.
Into the stewed, mate. From your work to your passion.
Fuck.
The two sides of the Rowan Arneal coin. But, mate, where to begin? You were in Melbourne for too long.
I was there for too long. That was a miscalculation for sure.
Rowan came down about 10 days earlier than his first show. Just to sort of vibe it out. Was that the...
I kept just being like, I'm going on a holiday. And then I went to Melbourne. I was like, this isn't a fucking holiday. I'm in Melbourne.
Yeah. So my show started 11 days before Rowan's. And we got there at the same time. So that's a really nice little way to double the expense of your trip.
Yeah.
Just an extra 10 days on the gas. What can you do?
What can you do?
Live and learn.
People at work keep asking me if I'm sick. I'm like, no, I think I'm just like permanently run down now. This is just my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit like that coming back from the old road. But mate, I want to just jump into this straight away and we'll circle back to Melbourne.
Yeah.
So funny. So Rowan comes back and I was in Adelaide or somewhere and I go, what's on, mate? First week back in Sydney, back into the old grind per se. And Rowan's like, yeah, work tomorrow, court on Tuesday. And I forgot that this bloke was representing himself in a local court case.
Fuck, it was so embarrassing.
So take us just from the start, from the incident to you then representing yourself in the courts, as is your right.
As is my right. Yeah, I did have a fire in my belly. Unfortunately, the fire had basically gone out by the time the court date arrived.
So how long ago was the incident?
2 days before Christmas. That's the injustice of it all, mate. That's why I was there.
So just to clarify, you were contesting this on the basis that it was just a dog move 2 days out from Chrissy.
Fucking basically.
Are you serious, mate? December 23rd? What the fuck?
Mate, I rolled through a stop sign 2 days before Christmas. You can only turn left. The street turns into a one-way. That's one of my big contentions that I
Wait,
still
so
gave
from
away.
From the beginning, mate, from the beginning. So you're coming down a street, there's a stop sign. On the other side of the stop sign, it turns into a one-way.
Yeah, to your right. And
so
I was
people are coming
left.
The other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no one that you're looking for on your right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already done the block to check the surf.
Okay. Now, did you come to a complete stop, as any responsible citizen would?
I pled completely guilty to not coming to a complete stop. I put my hand up in court and I said, I fucking plead guilty, not complete stop. Because I was arguing it at the start and he said, it is true that you're pleading guilty to this offense. And I was like, yeah, I'm guilty. Okay. That's out there for sure. But dog act.
So the cop, what was the fine?
$400.
Where was the cop in this scenario?
He was waiting around the corner with a little motorbike. There's no cars on the road, no pedestrians, mate.
Would you go as far to say that it was a sting operation?
I would say it was a solo mission by that man.
You think rogue soldier?
Mate, that was some Apocalypse Now shit. Yeah. He wasn't listening to orders. Who sends that man down there 2 days before Christmas?
December 23rd.
December 23rd.
Angry at the world.
Just peeking around a corner. Mm. He said, mate, I know you gave way. And I get that you could easily be a giveaway sign because you're not actually looking giving way to both sides. But these people that live on the beachfront, when it's busy, this is why I got so fucking angry.
So this is the cop admonishing you.
This is the cop, yeah. But imagine just my tone, just times it by like 100 cuntiness.
Could you paint a picture of the officer in question?
He was like kind of a middle-aged white guy. He was like, looks like every cop.
Okay.
But I don't think I'd be able to recognize him.
Wow.
But I do view all cops
That is a
as
dig,
him.
By the way.
Yeah.
We don't even think about you anymore, brother. We could walk straight past you at a local Westfield. We wouldn't even fucking know.
Yeah. I wish your family well, brother.
Yeah. Rearview mirror.
I came out on top.
Great white shark keeps moving forward, yeah? Not coming back around the corner to talk to you.
But yeah. Mate, and he was quite nasty. Well, he did the thing that cops do now where they... For traffic stuff, they act like they're going to let you off.
Yes.
And then they give you the fine so you're more compliant.
Nice. And it's pro shit.
It's pro shit. And I didn't see through it at the start. And I was like...
You never do.
You never do.
Because
I'm so
hopeful. You know what it is? In my mind, I'm thinking the charms worked.
Yeah,
the Darcy charm strikes again.
Yeah.
But really, we're getting played like a fiddle.
And my chick was there. And we weren't like properly.
Just a fucking... Mate, New York City.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
I wonder if that came through on the speakers. Cop car went straight past.
Big fire truck.
Oh, it was a fire truck.
Mate, know your sirens, brother.
Sorry, mate. I hear them and I run. You know me.
They're coming for us, those dogs.
Anyway, what were we saying? Oh, yeah, so in front of your chick.
In front of my woman.
On December 23, you're on it. In front of my chick.
And then I'm in front of my chick being like, man, I'm an apprentice.
Oh, no.
I'm an apprentice.
So, because I've, by the way, I've groveled before.
I always grovel.
We've all groveled before. So I'm not having a go at anyone for groveling. Did it occur to you, or did you have a thought that, oh, shit, my chick's here? I'm not going to grovel. I'm going to eat this one.
No, not even close. Yeah.
I mean, she knows how the world works.
Yeah, come on. She'd be furious if I didn't grovel.
Babe, what are we doing? We're going to mug off this cop. Yeah. Is that what you're about?
She's not a toxic woman.
No. Okay.
She wants me to grovel.
Yeah.
As I should.
Interesting. Also, mate, I would argue that any man, she's watching you grovel, she's thinking, this man's a father.
Yeah.
He's willing to do absolutely whatever it takes for the benefit of this family.
Exactly.
Look, eating some fucking porridge right now in front of me.
You think I want to do this? I fucking hate this.
Outstanding, mate.
But the stop sign's there because the people that live on the beachfront property, when it's a busy hot day, then it could just be a stream of cars and they couldn't get out of their driveway.
Mm.
So I walked away being like, brother.
Need some room for the Hummer. The Hummer's coming out.
I've seen the castle. This isn't fair.
Yes.
This is not fair.
Okay. So cut to, you get the thing in the mail. What's the number?
It's like $428.
$428.
And 6 demerit points because it was double demerits.
Double demerits.
And he also told me, because I was like, double demerits, man, for this. This isn't like, and then I'm like, oh, I don't need this, man. Like I'm like, come on. And then you always got to finish with, oh, thanks, mate. Then I threw that down real sarcastically.
One all.
And then it was not one all. I did not walk away from that interaction being like, that was one all. That was not one all at all. So it
was $428. Mate, the 6 demerit points is that's a killer.
It hurts.
Do we have 6 to spare?
I did, but I just got them back.
Wow. Easy come, easy go.
So, fuck.
So, was there a number? I mean, the 6 demerit points is shocking, mate. Absolutely shocking.
And he also told me this isn't part of the double demerits program, traffic stuff like this. And then I got the letter in the mail and it was like 6 demerits.
So, Your Honor, December 23, groveling in front of my chick, double demerits.
Double demerits, apprentice. 28-year-old apprentice. Yeah. You don't think this is embarrassing enough, bro?
28-year-old apprentice. Is there an amount an Australian citizen can be humiliated before they just go, you're off?
And we certainly found that moment in court.
Okay, so yeah, so cut to...
Come back from Melbourne. By this point, I'm just like...
You've forgotten about it.
I knew it was there the whole time because I knew I had to tell my boss that on my first week back from my 3-week holiday to Melbourne, still hilarious that he doesn't know I do stand-up comedy. So fucking good.
Your boss doesn't know you do stand-up comedy.
Holiday to Melbourne, brother.
You told him you went to Melbourne for 3 weeks without a prior reason.
Well, no one really asked any questions.
Melbourne City for 3 weeks.
Melbourne City for 3 weeks.
Mate, honestly, if bodies start going missing in Melbourne, I will have to turn you in. Or your boss will anyway. That's some serial killer stuff.
If you're a strange enough man in their eyes that they don't even question your habits. They're just like, yeah, makes sense.
Really though? 3 weeks in Melbourne. Oh no, sorry, boss. Can I have 2 months off? I'm going to Adelaide. Like, you're fired.
Yeah.
You've lied to me. Yeah. And whatever you're planning to do
is grossly illegal. Yeah. I don't stand for it. Yeah, fucking crazy.
Okay, so let's put that to the side. It's more insane than the cop, really.
Oh, it's so insane.
So,
and so I had to. He called me, and he just thought it was so funny. So he was like, "Yeah, fucking oath.
Yeah,
he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own problems. He doesn't need to worry about me in Melbourne. What I'm up to in Melbourne. Just in his mind, probably nerd shit, doing fucking weird cunt shit,
playing Bakugan or something.
Yeah,
Duel Masters.
Yeah."
So you roll into court, and I will say, beautiful scenes in our kitchen on the Tuesday morning. I walk into the kitchen at about 8 o'clock. Rowan's usually long gone by this point. And Rowan, is it fair to say you're sort of dressed for your Holy Communion?
Yeah. it was a good church boy vibe I was going with.
Connor leather shoes that were like painted on.
Yeah. These little cardboard boxes. They must be made out of like the toughest cardboard in the world. One of the most disgusting footwear I've ever had.
Yep. And then like sort of diesel jeans.
Nice kind of... Fancy jeans.
Fancy jeans and then like sort of a billabong button up. It was very much surfy goes to court.
Yeah, it was very surfy. But I thought about wearing a suit and I was like, I'm going in there for a stop sign. I look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You don't go too hard. But, and then I got to court and was like, I honestly think I've rode this line perfectly.
Were some guys suited to the gills and other guys just shirtless?
Mate. The amount some people must go to court for how fucking chill they dress. It's like, okay.
It's just like Woolies.
Mate, how about long pants?
Wow.
Long pants.
Dude, honestly, getting sentenced in shorts is kind of hard as fuck.
It's fucking hard as fuck. Dude, I was talking to Crookshank about it yesterday. He said he was in Downing Centre. Main Sydney court. And there was a guy wearing a leather jacket that on the back said, give me a fucking reason.
Mate, just to walk off when you got off innocent, yeah. Just walk off and just get that into your judge, hey? Fuck, that's funny. So, mate, you rock in to the courtroom.
Yeah.
Looking the goods.
Yeah. Surfy goes to court.
And it was a Bronte court?
Yeah, Waverley.
Waverley court. That's Waverley. Near the beach. That's a power up.
Yeah.
The Billabong shirt is glowing.
It was one of the most, probably one of the more depressing mornings of my year. I was like, all right, mate, you have no money. You haven't worked. You've got a bunch of invoices, but you haven't fucking been actually working for 3.5 weeks. $4. Car alternator went before I went down to Melbourne. Mm-hmm. I should be working. I should be making money for the paycheck.
You need the money coming in.
And then I'm catching a train to defend myself in court and can't buy a coffee. For fuck's sake. Sitting there in the morning is all pretty interesting. Good times.
Is it all just traffic stuff?
Nah, there was a bit of different shit. It was all over the place, really. And I just like judges because they're like, I just like anyone with a good vocabulary that goes, And that's fun. I was enjoying it. And then recess came, called my girlfriend, was like, I'm a fucking idiot. What the fuck am I doing? But then first in and just all dismissed, mate.
So he's how does it work? Boy. So they say Rowan Arneil approach or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You go up there.
Give a little microphone.
And
notes that I printed out at office work in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yep, had my little Google Maps, had my tax documents, which were the most important part of the case.
Your case was that you were humiliated and you're broke.
Yeah, basically. The punishment does not fit the crime.
Yes.
Guilty, but punishment does not fit the crime.
100%.
And when I
So the guy goes, all right, Rowan Arneil, what is your argument? You say, I'm pleading guilty, but yeah. I want no fine or punishment.
Yeah, I said just a reduced fine and reduced demerit points. On the basis that extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
And then he...
Did you mention that you have mental health problems? Or?
No. Fucking good on me, actually. I didn't even think of that.
I would have been in there and just be like, my lord. Just...
No, it's too pathetic, mate. You got to save that for real shit. You can't be... Also, you got to have some real...
Some save nice that for stuff. If you accidentally murder a cunt or something.
Yeah, yeah. You want to... I can't be going to traffic stuff being like,
Yeah, no, good call.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
So, and he's dismissed the fine completely.
He argued with me for a bit and then looked at my record and was like, oh, well.
I was about to say, because your record is not the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, but it's all low-level speeding.
Yeah.
Basically. And he just said, this perhaps...
Just a bit of good Aussie speeding, my lord.
Yeah.
Just an Aussie fellow who's got somewhere to be. Back to
and
you.
I was like, and in context of driving for my work for a lot of the last 10 years.
Yeah. So all under 30, my lord.
Yeah. 10 to 20. 10 to 20.
10 to 20.
10 to 20. Every judge has done 10 to 20.
No school zones in there, brother. Hey? Mm. Why don't we let a good one go today? What do you reckon?
And then he let a good one go. It was like,
so dismissed. No fine at all.
No fine, no demerit points.
No demerit points.
No demerit points. the man wins. And then I got an invoice got paid. While I was in court, I came out, I got that notification.
Fuck yeah.
Went and got myself an iced coffee.
Yeah.
Went and treated myself to a croissant, mate.
So when you run out of money in life, you just have no money. Don't you have a credit card or something?
No, I normally have Marky or a girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
That's who I have, really.
Yeah, see, as someone who has no support network. But yeah, dude, if I was out of money a week, I would just like go buy a coffee on the credit card. You don't do that?
Yeah, no, I got no... Well, yeah, I've stayed away from credit cards. I fear them. And I should fear them as well.
You should fear them.
I should fear them. Mm. I should fear them. Mate, I'm a personal loan guy previously, but I've managed to stay out of that territory for a while.
The devil's left hand, the devil's right.
I just like a lump sum, mate.
I don't know. I've danced with both. I can't really remember too much about the personal loan.
Mate, when I found out one of my friends had a Nimble loan, have you seen the Nimble ads?
Oh, my God.
I was like, Jesus Christ, mate.
Dude, those loans are worse than the pokies.
Oh, so bad.
They should be illegal.
And the two go hand in hand often.
I've had a couple of the lads get in on the wizard wallet. You know he's not a real fucking wizard, lads, yeah? This isn't real magic. You just borrowed $500. You already owe them $600.
The sillier the name gets, the higher the interest rates are and how much they will absolutely fuck you. That wizard is going to bend you over. I promise you that.
Yeah, Captain Underpants, like financial specialist, yeah. Mate. Like, the sillier, the worse it gets.
Yeah, Citibank, Commonwealth Bank.
Yes. What's another one? NAB.
NAB.
They won't fuck you. It's not even a word. Letters.
Well, they will fuck you, but at 13%.
Well, there's no clown out the front dancing around with a cape on, yeah. You know, with his magic wand going, Bucks party, bazoonga.
So yeah, I'm off. And then fucking...
Many men wish death upon me.
And I also was talking to the prosecutor beforehand. And I thought he was legal aid. So I was being all buddy-buddy. And I was like, oh, are you legal aid? And he's like, no, I'm a cop. And I was like, oh, fuck, mate.
Never be buddy-buddy until you know which side.
And then he laughed at one point when the judge was being like, did you or did you not? Oh, and the cop said I was going 20Ks. That's fucking crazy. And then I called the cop a liar in court, actually. I said, oh, really? Lying. And this is what he told me. Because he told me I was going under 5Ks.
And he wasn't there.
He wasn't there, nah. They would never bring a man in for that.
Yeah. I suppose most people who defend themselves on traffic things are probably absolute kooks, eh?
Well, that's what I had like 4 dot points. And I was looking at this guy in front of me that had like, the man was not doing great. But he had a full folder, like a sleeved folder that I hadn't seen since like year 6. And that's just got different stuff in it and stuff highlighted and like a speech at one point and then the fine and written the date. And I was like, I think this judge above everything will just want me to shut the fuck up.
Mm. Yeah, I think when you go to the public library, a lot of the lads in there are doing a bit of research.
Yeah, it was very public library vibes because all the people that were defending themselves got taken away after recess and it became much more public library vibes.
Yeah, what do you mean taken away?
Like we went to a separate court.
Oh, really?
To get through us. Just knock some boys down.
Just to hammer out a few kooks before lunch.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, if you've got like 100 kooks on the docket, you don't want to have like more than half after lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd want to run through a few of the lads.
Yeah. I was please and thank you, please and thank you.
Only guy wearing a collar.
There was some collar in there, but there was some high-vis collar. And then there was a guy in like a suit and Doc Martens that was like, it was way too intense. Just a full, like, perfect suit and then, like, really big Doc Martens. And I was like, this is...
A little bit vampire-y.
Bit vampire-y. Mate, it smelled like DV to me.
Oh, wow.
I watched a boy go down for smashing his roommate's candle. That's pretty fun.
Smashing his roommate's candle.
Mate, second time for anger management issues. Bit of an Ed Helms of The Office.
Dude, you can't take... your boy to court over a candle.
Mate, roommate sour, I guess.
I guess they're probably not roommates anymore.
Oh, definitely not.
What would you take me to court for? Or what's an incident that between you and me that could escalate to a point where we would end up in court?
Honestly, things could get so bad before either of us brought cops involved. You'd have to assault me quite a few times.
Yeah.
You would need to be like hiding in a ghillie suit for me to be like, okay, Billy, this is a bloody enough. I'm going to have to get an AVO involved.
But also, surely if I assault you twice, then we'll just not be roommates anymore.
Yeah, exactly. If
maybe the Sydney rental market just gets to such a point where you and me are arch enemies who live together because we've got 6 months left on the lease and we just every Saturday we just have a couple of beers and just punch on.
Yeah, a bit. The funny thing is because we live together, it would be classified as domestic violence.
Would it actually?
Yeah, yeah. So this was domestic violence. It was just purely domestic and not sexual.
Oh, right.
Like in that nature.
That's probably a separate part of the court, hey?
I think that's Wednesday. Wednesday's a big day in Australia in the courts.
DB day on Wednesdays. Yeah, DB day. Shout out to Marky.
Shout out.
Who's a lawyer, I should clarify. Yeah,
non-offender.
Yeah, he's a lawyer. But anyway, mate, you've just got back from Melbourne. Segue on. You were there for ages. What happened, mate? Take me through the 2 weeks where I wasn't there. How was Arneil received?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah,
good it was times. Good. It sounded great.
Yeah.
You're now boys with Jim Owen, you were telling me?
Oh, yeah, true. Got real drunk with Jim Owen a couple of times.
This is like when the cow and the pig become friends on the farm. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's been... I don't know. I didn't grow up with Jim Owen as much as other people, but it's been big for my dad, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, mate, yeah.
Jim Owen giving me his number and being like, text me for gigs. I'll pay for your dinner and get you beers. Massive for John Arneil.
Really?
Big, oh, mate. Me going on my Melbourne holiday. Wow.
Is John Arneil responding to a few more of your text messages now?
Well, it's still hilarious. When I sent into the family group chat a picture of me on a big stage for some Sydney Comedy Festival gala, and I just see my dad replying in a message saying, that's great, and I opened it, and it was actually him replying to my sister's pesto that she made. I was like, you motherfucker.
That's a dig.
That is a dig. But yeah, getting drunk with Jim Owen.
He missed the photo, mate. He missed the photo.
His eyes are bad, mate.
Yeah,
his
exactly.
eyes are bad. He's got terrible eyes. And
100%.
But yeah, it was fun, mate. That's the thing about being in Melbourne for ages. A Tuesday can be like the best night of your week.
Yeah, well, during the festival especially. Yeah. You could just sort of get on it.
Kicking around, get on it. Get on it with Jim Owen and his family.
Mate, do you think he could be a possible mentor for you?
I don't know. I don't know. Possibly. I could go up the coast with Jim Owen.
Dude,
get into golf.
If Jim Owen told me to get in a van, we're going up the coast.
Yeah.
I would get in the van.
Yeah. That's nice. He's a builder.
Oh, really?
I think that's why he liked me, basically. It was nice. Fun. Me and Jim Owen just talked about tradie shit for like fucking 3 hours.
Really? Damn it. That's great. He respects you on a three-dimensional level, brother.
Brother, some people know what it's like finishing a show at 10 and getting up at 5, and we hold each other close and warm.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's mainly what we were talking about.
I was about to say, I don't know. When was the last time Jim Owen got up at 5?
Yeah, for a long, long time.
Probably the 80s. Have you seen that bit he does online? What's it, Live at the Apollo or whatever, or Michael McIntyre's roadshow, where he goes like, oh, I'm just trying to find the funniest part in the stage. And then everyone laughs and he stops. And then like he keeps walking and then his next joke doesn't get a laugh and he runs back to the spot. It's so silly.
Yeah, he's so fucking silly. It's so fun watching like a 55, well, probably be like 6-year-old dude just be so silly on stage. He was doing this bit about how like he mimes on stage, but like not properly. Like he'll pick up phones and not put them down and open doors and not close them in bits. And then a mime will come out after him and be like, who left the place in this state? That's just good old-fashioned fun, mate.
That's fun.
That's just good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah. I what do you think your stand-up would look like at 60? I picture you just being like more of a fire and brimstone. Just like
you're trying to paint me as a dark, decrepit man. I'm a lovely man.
You'll be like, you know.
Fun dad, mate.
You'll be fun dad?
Oh, well, I'm not going to be fun dad, but...
On the spectrum of Tommy Dean to Peter Burner, where will you fit on that spectrum?
Maybe like a stoned Peter Burner. These references make no sense to say, for yeah. anyone.
This is niche. Yeah, sorry about this. But could you ever move to Melbourne, mate?
No fucking way.
Really?
No way, bro. The days. I don't know what to do in the day there.
Yeah, but you could get a job during the day. Or get some friends or something.
Yeah, I played a bit of pickleball. Pickleball's fun.
What's going on with the pickleball, mate?
It is very fun.
It's fun?
And you can take... Well, no one else was, but I was taking big dives. I actually couldn't walk the next day.
Is it not AstroTurf?
No, I was playing it on like a basketball court.
We were playing it.
What is it?
It's just small tennis slash like ping pong. It's like a bigger version of ping pong and a smaller version of tennis.
And it's pretty easy. That's the thing.
You get the hang of it real
Literally
quick.
Anyone could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because tennis is so fun, but I almost never get it over the net.
Well, me and my friends, my mate was house-sitting over Christmas, some rich guy's house on an app, and there was a tennis court, and we got drunk and went to play tennis. And, like, we literally couldn't get a rally going.
It's hard.
Because some people were straight into the net. My problem is that I just, like, pound it, and it just goes fucking flying.
Yeah.
I can't get it on the court.
Yeah,
but
right.
But pickleball, mate, I'm naturally attuned to it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It seems like anyone can play pickleball. But, yeah.
What about you? What's been going on with you?
What has been going on with
you? You went to Brisbane, Adelaide. He's been knocking shit down.
Mate, I've been all over the country in the time you were still in Melbourne. Pretty funny. I don't know. What has been happening with me? I'm trying to think of stories I haven't told you off air.
Mm.
What about this, mate? Should we talk about this Paul Kent thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
So where to begin with Paul Kent?
For those of you that don't live in New South Wales or Queensland, he's just an NRL commentator that played a couple of games.
So do you think people in other states are not aware of this hilarious thing?
Some of them, for sure. Like, I don't know what's going on with AFL broadcasters.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people, like, would have scanned through it, but not in the same way. They don't know Kenty.
Okay, so give an update on Kenty. Give some context. Kenty's played one game.
He's played one game for the Parramatta Eels as a halfback, and then he kind of went on to a broadcasting career of basically being the biggest cunt in the world.
He's like the narky guy.
He's the real nasty. Oh, who's the nasty guy in AFL, the guy that was real racist? What was his name?
Eddie McGuire?
Nah, different racist guy. God, AFL has its issues.
I honestly don't know a single AFL commentator.
Exactly. So this is why we're...
Jonathan Brown.
They'll know who I'm talking about. He's got a real skinny, evil face. But anyway, he's just the villain character.
He's the villain,
and he's just so smug and annoying.
He's so smug, and he's like, some of his things that he's ripped on players about include, like, the tone of their celebrations.
Yeah, he hates the boys showboating in any way.
Yeah, you cannot, like, he hates the speed dealers.
If I don't know how many premierships you need to win to be able to gloat a little bit, but it's not three. You need to triple that in Kenty's eyes.
In Kenty's eyes, to let out a chahoo after a win, that better have been your seventh premiership in a row.
And even then, it's like, if you're Polynesian, he's kind of coming for you.
Yeah, there's a bit
does
of a vibe
not,
on.
He does not like the Polynesians celebrating. And it is an us culture. It's just fucking...
He's all over the lads for their behaviour.
Yeah, yeah. And as everyone knows, me and Billy, if it's non-violent, we're pretty...
We're player first.
Let the boys play.
Yeah.
Let the boys play.
As long as no one's getting hurt,
yeah.
Let the boys play.
Mm.
Okay? Do you know what? If one of the lads gets caught with some drugs on a Saturday night, my first question, what was the event?
Well, that's a great point.
Was it a birthday? Was it a wedding?
Was it a wedding?
Was it a wake? Did we lose a family member? I'm thinking player first.
When was the last time you won?
Yes.
Did you win 3 hours earlier?
Or are the boys on a skid?
Yeah.
Sometimes if you lose three in a row, you just got to go, fuck it.
And
let's blow one out.
Sometimes you have a real good, whatever your thing is, real great week, and someone just hands it to you.
What if someone hands it to you?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And then you can't find them to give it back. Because people always give away coke and then just... kind of go.
And there's no phone signal in these fucking clubs anymore. You're trying to text your bloody mate. But anyway, so that's just an example of a player first attitude.
Yeah, yeah. We're player first big time.
We're player first.
Yeah.
So Kenty's been all over everyone for their behavior for like last few years. And then lo and behold, and he did get off on this, and I didn't actually read about this, but he got done up on a domestic violence charge last year.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Well, yeah. So we haven't really read into that. Before we go out on any crazy statements.
I remember reading into it at the time and being like, obviously from a biased perspective, he's a dog and he did it.
Here's the thing, dude. I hate this guy so viscerally that I'm not even going to pretend to analyze it.
Yeah, okay. I didn't analyze it either. I hate him and I think he did it.
I saw some comments on Instagram that implied that he did it and got off like anyway. Without any evidence, that's enough for me. I'd never looked into it again. I dislike him on such a level. I dislike what he represents.
Yeah, yeah.
I dislike the type of bloke he is.
Yeah.
So let's just breeze past that.
He has not smiled in about 23 years.
Yeah. Also, dream job.
Yeah.
Dream job. He's one of the three non-players in a sport who get to fucking talk about it and have people listen.
Yeah.
What a prick. Anyway, so he gets off on that.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to NRL 360. Yeah. And here's the thing, mate. The comments have turned.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite hobbies now is just looking at NRL 360 comments. Because the thing is, mate, he's still as much of a cunt.
He's as much of a cunt.
Which, here's the thing. All right, so let's say a more fun crime. Let's say you get done up with like a bag of drugs on the weekend and you get suspended from NRL 360 for 3 months.
Yeah.
And you've been into everyone's behavior.
Yeah.
When you come back, do you lighten up? Or is that too predictable? Do you think 2 feet down, stand down?
I think in every avenue of his life, Kenty is like, stand firm.
Stand firm.
Fucking firm.
Just be concrete.
Yeah, be absolute.
Just got whatever his dad told him in 1961, yeah, just ringing. Mate, fuck everyone.
Head down, fuck everyone, seethe. Just continue to seethe.
Because that was crazy. He was like as big of a prick on the rebound.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't call it a comeback. Yeah. It was insane. And then, so we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And this is the best thing ever. He got in a, I'm not even going to say a fight.
It's, mate, when old men throw hands, it's one of the saddest things ever.
Yeah. So basically, Kenty's out and about. It looks like three blokes outside of a pub in Roselle. They're giving him a bit of lip, a bit of fucking chirp.
Which also, guilty as charged if I was there. Mate, if I see Kenty.
Oh my God, I can't imagine what I'd say.
I saw Alan Jones once in a foyer and I walked up to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, Jonesy, what's up? And he just saw a man in a removalist uniform saying, Jonesy, what's up? And was like, this isn't going to be good. And just turned away from me and just faced another man.
But surely Kenty is expecting a little bit of chirp out there on the streets.
He's the biggest chirper in the world.
And also, he was getting chirped up before the domestic violence thing.
Mm.
He was disliked beforehand.
Yeah.
So we're living in a post-charge world. Anyway, so he's getting chirped up. The crazy thing was, though, the bloke's chirping him. He was more aggressive than them.
Yeah.
He's done the old take the watch off. I think he's gone to go the watch over the knuckles, which is a crazy move for a 59-year-old man to make on camera, who's already like holding on to his job. And then he goes to like he runs back after the blokes. And he's so blind.
Yeah.
He's so blind.
Mm.
And he runs back over. Like, he escalates the situation like three times in a row.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. You think he'd be the one being like, stop filming, guys, stop.
And like, people are clearly filming and finding it hilarious.
Everyone's filming it. Everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
And he go, mate, when he throws a punch, I got to say, it's graphic.
Yeah.
Like, this thing is coming around the corner for about 10 minutes. I've never seen a punch this slow. And he sort of punches himself off his feet. He misses by a mile, obviously. Mm. And then he gets sort of – I don't even think the guy should get done. Kenty was so off balance. The guy kind of throws him, but also Kenty was just kind of out of control.
He just kind of kept the movement going past
him. You know
when,
like, someone's running downhill and their legs can't catch up to themselves? That was Kenty on the flat.
Yeah.
Kenty's lost control of his legs on the flat, and he's ended up spear-tackling himself into a tree root. And he literally goes upside down. He's – big fat fucking gut comes out. It's all pretty graphic. And there's almost that moment where you go, ha, oh, you know when you see like an old guy fall? You go, he was 59 again for a second.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Then he throws the punch. You go, oh, this cunt's 59. And then he gets thrown and it was hilarious. And then he hits the tree and you're like, oh, this bloke's 59. Like, it's graphic when you see old blokes go down like that.
It was kind of like when a toddler falls.
Yes.
It was
yes.
Like, do, ooh, and you're just like, oh.
And they don't know how to like land properly.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Kenty, man. He was out. He had arms and legs going everywhere.
And man, NRL players have been fucking loving it because there's a couple of, especially all the ones that he's come after for their behaviour constantly. They just love it so much,
dude. Well, we're in the Batuta Advocate studios right here. My God, Batuta, we're on fire.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they were saying, where it's like, Kenty on HIA, suspended for 6 weeks from NRL 360. Like, I think they said, like, the tree is getting
New South Wales.
Yeah, the tree is getting picked for New South Wales. Fuck, funny stuff, man.
So good. People are editing videos of Kenty reacting, Kenty shamefully, like, just reacting to his own video. When will the boys get some class? Why is this necessary? Why is this necessary? Mate, so it's just a beautiful thing when you see one of your few people that you really fucking despise in this world go down.
Yeah, and just go down on camera. It's just yeah. like, oh, this is so good. Like, also, like, I would never, like, fucking put the watch over the things and, like, throw a punch to a guy in the middle of the street. Like, unless it was something crazy. I don't know what you would have to do to be for me to behave that way. But then, coupled with the fact you're a media figure and you're 60.
And you're probably on a $1 million deal that you just got back on.
Yeah, and you just got back on.
You just got back on.
I mean, he must have been so pissed.
Yeah, well, watch over the hand. It's not a sober man's look at 1 a.m. It's not.
Not a Roselle move either.
No.
He was in Roselle.
Fucking hell. Watch over the hand is so embarrassing. Fucking hell. Now I kind of feel sorry for him.
That's a bit of street stuff.
Yeah.
But also, because Kenty would go in on stuff where it's like, this isn't anything.
Mm.
Whereas like, this is something. And then, mate, it's so good when you got Braith and Astor in full AI mode. Yeah. Welcome to another episode of NRL 360. We have a fantastic episode coming your way. Yeah, go on, Braith. Yeah. Go on, Braith.
Firstly, I'd like to address it. You're like,
oh, no, he doesn't.
Doesn't he?
No. They never address it when he's off.
Really?
Yeah. Straight into it.
That's sick.
Go on, Braith.
It's just fucking – it's so sad when an old guy like is like, yeah, mate, I can still fucking throw hands. I can still
– Well, do you know what I was thinking, right? Now, obviously, I guess these guys were filming. But, you know, Kenty, who are these blokes? They're lucky. He's lucky, I should say, that these blokes didn't just kick the fuck out of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the cameras turn off after that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know who these guys are.
Yeah, but it's just like if you've been in a position for power for so long, you just like think you're invincible in some way. I reckon. You're just like, well, no one could fucking.
Yeah, he like shirt fronted a journalist at another thing the year before last or whatever. Okay. He's got a bit of track. But the thing with Kenty is I think if you're on the NRL 360 and you get into scandal, your punishment should be they get to do a special episode about what you did.
Yeah, it's not fair that it doesn't get brought up on NRL 360 when you're a key figure of the code.
Mate, honestly.
You need to do an episode.
Ed. It would get great ratings. You're telling me Braith doesn't want those numbers?
Yeah, he'd mate, love it.
Mate, I'm a casual rugby league fan. If they go Paul Kent special, oof. I'm pulling out of gigs. This podcast is having a week off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Oh, mate, we're probably getting a bit of Thai food in for that one, mate. Clear the week.
So fucking good.
Dude, honestly, and that should be your punishment as well.
You got to talk about it.
And also, here's the thing, dude. Firstly, it'll be fucking hilarious. Secondly, be great ratings.
Yeah.
And thirdly, mate, look, unlike the domestic violence thing, this one was hilarious.
Yeah, this was funny.
I could see a world where Kenty comes back.
Oh, mate, people have come back from worse.
People have come back from way worse. And I think if Kenty gets his treatment on the desk,
yeah,
then, you know, what goes around comes around. It's all fair.
Yep.
Look, Your Honour, the punch didn't land. We'll have Rowan Arneal represent him in court.
Yep.
I didn't see a watch over the knuckles.
There we go.
He was checking the time.
And also, here's a little cheat code to get out of... Like, basically, a lot of people thinking it's bad that you threw a punch. You just got to be an old guy that's like, they brought up my family, mate. They mentioned my family.
Family.
You've basically got every bogan in New South Wales and Queensland being like, you don't talk about someone's family.
Mate. Yeah, the Ricky Stewart defense.
Yeah.
we'll get Kenty down to Lowe's for a pair of wheels and a Billabong button-up. We'll have him back on the desk in 2 weeks. Also, the other bloke got charged. I'm pretty sure Kenty's criminally, I think... Kenty's fine. Obviously, yeah, his career and his personal life are destroyed. But
I have a feeling that his personal life has probably been destroyed for a while.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'd wanted the first one I've probably had in my life this weekend when I was at Ulladulla, and there was people, we were going to chill in it, and there was people
That's
blasting.
That's what we were
going to
talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was people blasting, chilling it next door, smoking cones in the apartment next door. And I've never had this before in my life that, I was kind of like the old guy being like, what's up, young guys? How you doing?
Sick.
And they're like smoking cones. And I'm like being like, yeah, I used to punch a few billies myself, mate. Yeah, yep. And they're like, it's cool. And you're just like, fuck, I'm bombing with these kids. They do not respect me at all. And then they offered me a cone and I was like, go to a winery. I'm actually all good, man. All good.
Oh, no.
Full dad mode.
Full dad mode.
And then I was going to have one, and then I was like, why you don't have one, mate? Who are you trying to impress? Because I got done a couple of times at the Garbos trying to impress a 17-year-old, and then just being so high, being like, what the fuck? And then I look at him, and I'm like, you were just trying to impress a 26-year-old.
Mm.
And he's not having a good time, and we both know that the clock is ticking for us to have to jump out of a truck and start running after bins. And you're like, I don't need this. Why am I trying to impress young people?
Yeah, I catch myself doing that sometimes as well.
You're just like, is this going to be it forever? Every young person, I'm going to be like, I used to fucking, I'm sick.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so. I guess accept it.
Was this your first time in the old guy situation?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I pointed out a big eagle I saw later that I was so hyped about and they didn't care. And I was like, God, I'm not vibing that road. Yeah, I'm a bird nerd. God damn it. Yeah. I'm coming off as a bird nerd.
Mate, this guy's probably trying to get with these chicks. He's trying to get with these chicks and you're talking about fucking birds in the sky.
Yeah, they weren't that. Usually, my girlfriend saw them first and she was like, oh, what's up? And then they were like, oh, hey, are you alone? And then I just like pop into view. I'm like, no, she's not alone. She's like, no, my boyfriend's here chilling.
Yeah, right. You're a narc, man.
Yeah, I'm a narc.
You didn't even have a cone with the lads.
Mate, I don't need a fucking cone. Come on. I'm going to a winery, mate. I'm being a good boy.
I don't know. You brought it up. This appears to have affected you.
Yeah, it did affect me for sure.
Pretty deeply.
Yeah.
How was chilling it, though? Seeing chilling it in Ulla Dulla, brother.
It was fun.
Tell me the shirt was off.
The shirt started off.
He came out shirtless.
Came out shirtless, which is baller. I would have probably preferred shirt on one song, then shirt off.
Because then you get the moment of him taking it off.
You get the moment. I want the takeoff, mate.
Takeoff in my pants.
No matter how many times chilling it says on Instagram Live that he's not doing steroids, it's hard to be in the room with him and be like, he's not on steroids. But yeah, he's on steroids.
Might be some Buffalo Bill shit, some TRT or something.
Yeah, there's something that people's bodies didn't look, even the strongest man of the 1920s did not look like that. So that's all I know.
Did they, not look like
they,
this.
They were much stronger than chilling and they did not look, their bodies looked nothing like that.
Yeah.
But him there, mate, it's all about family, brother. His missus was there.
Oh, nice. Was his little baby there with the headphones on?
No.
I love it when the artists bring their little baby with the headphones on.
I do love
on.
Baby with headphones. That's fucking, I love baby with headphones.
I've seen a lot of these babies with the headphones. I think it's becoming like a cool thing for these parents to do.
Yeah, it is
I'm seeing
sick.
Babies at all these gigs.
Yeah. Baby headphones is sick.
It's just hilarious.
It's just hilarious.
You can't tell me those headphones work either. Surely the baby's hearing is destroyed beyond belief. It's seeing fucking Metallica.
Mate, you need to take your baby to Future. If you're going to Future, you got to have your baby at the front row of Future.
Do you think it's one of those things where they just want their baby to like absorb the culture so it's sort of got to jump on the kids in school?
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Are you telling me that if there's, 22 kids in a kindergarten class, right, one of them has been to a Splendor in the Grass and no one else has, that kid's not going to be the coolest one?
It would help for sure.
It would totally help.
Yeah. And also, mate, who needs a babysitter when you buy one pair of headphones?
100%.
100%.
And also, if your parents are taking you to Splendor when you're 6 months old, they're going to be fucking crap parents outing anyway. So, of course, you're going to be cool because they're never going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna be smoking cigarettes and shit when you're 11.
It's the coolest shit ever not to have good parents.
Dude.
It's so cool.
You're an underdog.
100%. But yeah, basically every weed dealer in the South Coast was in a pub. A lot of cash flowing over the bar. I was basically the only man tapping.
Nice.
But that felt nice. Made some friends, mate. Sometimes you just got to go to Ulla Dulla for a romantic weekend away.
I love that you coupled this up with a little trip.
Yeah, nice. Go double surfing. Trouble. Go to Chillin' It. Hang out with a couple that were both wearing TN hats at the Chillin' It show.
Wow.
Mate, you can leave. I left my girlfriend to take a piss, came back, and then she was doing that thing that I've only seen women who have met recently do, where they just let emotion like flow out of their body. And they were talking about, they were both talking about how great it is to help people. Does your mum ever do this?
What? Wait, so
I left for about 30 seconds and then I come back and there's just the most emotional conversation I've ever seen of two women that have just met, just talking about how good it is to help people in your career.
I think I've done that with some blokes, so that's fine. Play it on.
I played it on. It's just me and the guy looked at each other and he was like, And I was like, oh, yeah, we can have a separate conversation. We don't need to talk about how important it is for people to work in disability support.
100%.
It's not really a bloke conversation, it turns out.
Well, not for this bloke.
No, not for this bloke.
But anyway, mate, I think we're probably at the end of the episode.
It's so hot.
It's very hot. You are sfitzing over there, brother.
Yeah, I'm sfitzing big time.
Anyway, mate, your Sydney Comedy Festival shows are this weekend.
Yes.
Would you like to plug them?
Yes. Thursday, Saturday, most importantly, 9:30, the Enmore Loft. I have not been promoting them. I've been lazy and I deeply regret that. But come as pissed as you want. I don't give a shit. Sunday's looking good. Don't bother. Don't come Sundays, mate. Come Saturday.
Saturday's the party show.
Saturdays. And
I got and some... Thursday. I'm going Thursday.
Nice. Yeah, Thursday as well. Nice. Thursday, Saturday. Beautiful. And more loft this week.
Rowan Arneel's Instagram bio. That's what May... What is it? May...
The 4th. 4th and 5th. 4th, 5th, 6th. This week.
May 2nd, 4th, and 5th. There you go.
There you go.
And then I'm in Canberra this Friday, May 3rd. Come on out. And I got Sydney, May 10th, Newcastle, May 11th, Wollongong, May 25th, and Brisbane, June 20th. Get those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio.
Beautiful.